This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Kalamazoo's Vine neighborhood has a mix of people who live there and businesses nearby. In a recent story for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave On the Ground series, one resident of Vine describes it as an oasis for the oddballs among us. Teresa Cody O'Neill is project editor for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave On the Ground Kalamazoo series. We're also joined by Joetta Carr, a Vine neighborhood resident who's featured in a story about the Southwest Michigan Extinction Rebellion. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Gordon.
Teresa, let's start with you. You've been around Kalamazoo now to the urban core neighborhoods for this On the Ground series. How different is Vine from the other neighborhoods you've reported on?
To be fair, we're just getting started, but it's different in a lot of ways already. I think for one thing, Vine, there's a lot of artists in Vine, and that's really apparent in everything that's going on. There's a large underground music scene. There's a real emphasis on public art and murals, and there's a lot of community gardens, and there's a lot of art in the community gardens. And it's also like a real activist neighborhood. And I think that there's a real sweet spot where those two come together that make for a pretty vibrant community.
How did you find Vine is changing?
There's a couple ways it's changing that I think have a lot to do with Imagine Kalamazoo and the proactivity of the Vine Neighborhood Association and taking opportunities that presented themselves. So one of the ways is that the Vine Neighborhood Association purchased that whole Central Corners business district, and we're going to have an article about that coming up. But that allowed the neighborhood to have some say in what sort of businesses were there, which I think is like a real ownership of the way that the neighborhood presents itself and the kind of community that it wants to be. I think El Sol, when that opened up, as even though it's a magnet school, it's in the neighborhood, so that attracted more families into the neighborhood. So I think there's been a little bit of an increase in home ownership, even though it's still predominantly a rental neighborhood. And I think that the art, that the murals, too, just went up recently, one in July and one in June. Around that business district, and they're going to keep adding to those. It just creates a very colorful, warm, inviting picture, and I think it is attracting more people.
Are all of these things making Vine more like other parts of Kalamazoo, or are they making them more unique, or maybe just making them unique in a different way from the rest of the city?
I would say it's unique in a different way, because in covering all of the neighborhoods, I did see some similarities in terms of I've just been impressed by how much art and how much activism is in all the neighborhoods, and how much we just have so many nonprofits in Kalamazoo, but there's so many people in each community that are doing things to try to make their community better. So I do see a continuation of that in Vine, but it is a little different. Again, it seems to have a more artistic bent to it. The activism is a little bit, has maybe a little bit of a different flavor. Maybe more of a global flavor in some ways. So that all kind of comes together and it makes for a really interesting palette.
So Joetta Carr will talk about activism in a moment. But first, how long have you lived in Vine?
I've lived in Vine for 26 years.
And you have gotten active in something called the Extinction Rebellion. Tell people what that means.
Yes, the Extinction Rebellion is a global group of different autonomous chapters all over the world and also here in the United States. It started in London in April. You might have seen the bridges being taken over in a friendly way by families. They planted trees. They blocked traffic. They did die-ins to really pressure Parliament to declare a national climate emergency, which it did after a couple of weeks. It spread like wildfire all over the world, and it spread to the United States, starting in the bigger cities. But recently, we formed a chapter in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which we call Southwest Michigan chapter, because we have some folks over on the lakeshore, and we hope to spread to the Grand Rapids area and all around Southwest Michigan.
How many people would you say are members right now?
We have 20 or so active members who come to meetings and are really participating, and we have several hundred people on our email list, and our Facebook page is being liked by hundreds of people now.
How are you going about attracting new members and getting the word out that you exist?
That's a very good question. We try to go to public events like the City Commission when there's a climate-related thing like the Asylum Lake Project. We go around and flyer at the food court in Brunson Park, the food trucks, and we go to various events and take out our information. We also post things on our Facebook page and really urge people to like it and spread the word to their people. And in fact, we just got a new person. We meet on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, and we just got a new person who saw a link on our Facebook page and was really attracted to it. In addition to that, people can go on to Extinction Rebellion US website and complete an information sheet, and they'll be tracked to the local chapter closest to where they live by zip code.
So what should we be looking for in the weeks, months, maybe years ahead in terms of what the Extinction Rebellion will be doing in Southwest Michigan?
Well, first, I think it's important that we understand what we're doing here. Our goal is to stop the climate emergency. We first are asking governments of all sizes, local, state, national entities, as well as countries around the world, to declare national emergencies, climate emergencies, and to really tell the truth about the climate catastrophe. We don't even call it climate change anymore because it's happening so quickly. We really need to pivot as a country in order to have a chance of really mitigating this crisis and really saving the planet and the biodiversity on the planet. Of course, humans are part of the biodiversity, and it's evaporating so quickly that we see the seas are being poisoned and they're acidic and they're rising and there's flooding all over the country. And we just saw that in New Orleans and Miami earlier. And large parts of the world are becoming uninhabitable. So we feel that the first step is to tell the truth, and we're pressuring governments to declare climate emergencies, including our local government. We're hopeful that we'll be able to get the city and county commissions to declare climate emergencies. Oshtemo Township has already done so, and cities across the country have. And then we are also pressuring government entities to act swiftly to stop the carbon emissions that are being put into the air, the atmosphere, and to stop them by 2025. That's our platform. And then to mitigate the carbon dioxide that's already in the atmosphere by removing it. And this is going to require a huge effort. A national effort. We can't do it as citizens. And we see that corporations and politicians are too often getting money from the fossil fuel industry, and they're not really doing what they know is right. We have the science. We know that the science, and hundreds of scientists have told us what we're dealing with has to be really turned around in 5 to 10 years.
Does the group have specific policy proposals that they want governments to enact?
We shy away from specific policy proposals, but we do insist on creating a citizens' assembly to help governments and to oversee the implementation of policy proposals that governments enact, which will be carbon mitigating policies, will be drawing out the CO2 from the atmosphere and quickly going to electric vehicles, changing our grid to solar and electric. And this could create really hundreds of thousands of jobs. But we, as Extinction Rebellion, have a policy of not recommending any particular policy, but we do insist on having a citizens assembly to kind of keep them honest so that when policies, and we do have people, scientists in our group from Western Michigan University and other places who are developing recommendations for policymakers.
So you're quoted in the story as saying, we're trying to appeal to all the candidates in a friendly but serious way to develop their own climate emergency policy. How do you approach someone in a friendly yet serious way?
That's a very good question. For example, you may know that David Banach is running for mayor, and he is a climate activist as well. And so we're appealing to him to develop, and all the other candidates for that matter, to develop a climate policy for Kalamazoo. We are going to the city commission. We have to work on a state level also. Our attorney general is, as you know, trying to shut down Line 5 by the Mackinac Bridge. And so far, I don't think she's been successful, but we're really hopeful that that will happen immediately. It could spring a leak anytime. It could be catastrophic for our state in terms of tourism and agriculture and just for the residents who live here. So we're also planning to go to the Democratic debates in Detroit, and we're going to be launching some creative protests there. Stay tuned. And in addition to that, we're very excited to have been a part of a coalition whose first meeting was yesterday, called the Climate Emergency Group, to declare a climate emergency and participate in the global strike for the climate, which is happening all over the world on September 20th. There were, I think, about 25 or 30 people at that meeting representing about 20 different groups. And we're very excited to be part of that coalition, including the Western Michigan University Climate Change Study Group. So on September 20th, we are planning a global climate strike here, including the high schools. We have already Kalamazoo Central, and we're hoping to have other students walk out that day like Greta Thunberg did in her school in Sweden. And she's the person who really inspired us. This was 15 at the time to have these Friday walkouts. It happens that September 20th is on a Friday, and we're hoping to get businesses, schools, universities, colleges, and people all over the community here to walk out, and we're going to converge, hopefully, in Bronson Park that evening and have a program.
So as a 26-year resident of the Vine neighborhood, is it natural in your mind that people who live there would be involved in something of this nature, an attempt to try and address an issue as big as climate change?
I definitely think so, because if you look at polls, you see that the regular American person is very concerned about the climate emergency. They're concerned for their children and their grandchildren. I just have a new grandchild who's 10 months old, and really that's why I got involved with this, because I want her to grow up in a world where she can breathe the air and have good fresh water to drink. And we're going to be seeing climate migrants who are going to be fleeing the coasts and fleeing the drought areas in Florida and Texas. And we're going to probably end up having thousands of people coming up to Michigan. We're going to need to be able to address those needs, as well as migrants on the border. We're looking at the intersection now among climate migrants coming up from Central America, stuck on the border, put in cages, and the climate emergency we see, because it is global. So we have to act in a global way. And there's a lot of different issues like hunger and agricultural problems we're seeing in Michigan, not being able to plant our fields, and climate migration that are all connected to the climate catastrophe that we're facing.
So, Teresa, as you talk to people in Vine and they kind of look at how there have been some changes there recently, and of course, then you try to project out that there may be more coming, what are some of the main challenges that people in the neighborhood see coming down the road?
I think almost all neighborhoods, the main challenge, especially at this time, is affordable housing. And that is in all the four neighborhoods that we've addressed, that has been an issue. I think it will be a pressing issue in Vine, too, because rents are already kind of creeping up a little bit. And, the affordable housing is considered to be 30% of your income. The average wage in Vine is annually per person is like $23,000, I think, households. So you're talking about maybe $500 and some dollars a month, but a lot of rents are much more than that already. So, and it's a kind of crisis. I think we are in a housing crisis for lower income and middle class.
And is this a problem in Vine that is perhaps getting more attention and is becoming into focus because now more people who maybe in the past didn't want to live in Vine now want to move there?
I would say that's likely. I can't speak to it for sure. It is, you do have a wide variety of type of people that choose to live in Vine. Some are like, cohabitating young adults, for instance. Some students, not as many as there used to be. But yeah, I would definitely say that happens in every community. The nicer it gets, the more expensive everything becomes until the people who've always lived there can't really afford it anymore.
What other stories should we look for in the weeks ahead from the On the Ground series in Vine?
Yeah, I can speak to the next couple of weeks since we're just really getting started. This coming Thursday, we're going to do a story on public art. There's some people in the neighborhood who are really motivated and activated for that. And so I think Vine is just going to get more and more colorful with art. And then after that, a focus on that Central Corners business district. They're in the middle of renaming. No one really knows what it's called except for people who are on the board. And they want to have sort of a new name for it. So there's a contest right now for that. And a little bit of backstory about how the Vine Neighborhood Association acquired it.
Teresa Cody O'Neill is project editor for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave On the Ground Kalamazoo. Joetta Carr is one of the organizers of Kalamazoo's Extinction Rebellion and the subject of one of the stories from Kalamazoo's Vine Neighborhood. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Thank you, Gordon.
You can find links to the On the Ground series at WMUK.org. WMUK's West Southwest podcast can be found at WMUK.org as well as the WMUK app. You can subscribe to WMUK's West Southwest through Apple Podcasts and by searching podcasts in Google Music. There you can leave a rating and write a review. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.